subject today is when Jesus said, I am the door or the gate, depending on the translation. This is found in John chapter 10, and I hope to explain it to you. But I just want to let you know about a game I played with my kids yesterday. I thought to myself, what kind of animal do I think I am like? And I kind of very proudly came up with the idea, well, I'm a bit of an eagle. I can soar an eagle, you know. But the interesting thing is, you play this game, you think, what kind of animal are you like? But then you ask someone else what they think you're like. So I said to my girls, girls, what do you think I'm like? And so, Dad, you're a gorilla. Can I encourage you to play this game after coffee? Maybe ask, you know, what do you think? It's really quite interesting. But what does God think we're like? And actually, you'll find in the Bible, 400 times, human beings are likened to sheep. Now, I'm not insulting anyone here because I'm including myself in this, but sheep are sometimes stupid. That's why I think part of the reason human beings make stupid mistakes, I have done. Let me just tell you of a true story. In July 2005 in Turkey, in the Van province, eastern Turkey, some shepherds were having breakfast. This is a true story. And during their breakfast, they left the sheep unattended. And during breakfast, one sheep went off a cliff. It was a 50-foot drop and it died. Then after a while, another one went off a cliff. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. And by the time the shepherds had finished breakfast and got up and looked, 1,500 sheep had gone over the cliff edge in the Givas district of eastern Turkey. 450 sadly died. The other 1,050 were cushioned as they fell by the growing pile of soft wool from the sheep that had fallen under them, cushioning their descent. So there you go, true story. Sheep are also vulnerable. Sheep are vulnerable. Most sheep don't have any defences. So, for example, I mean, some might have some curly horns, but generally speaking,
for a predator, a sheep is a ready meal.
And sheep also can't find food on their own. They need a shepherd. They need a leader. They need a guide to lead them to pasture. So I think that's why God chose this rather unflattering image of us as sheep. Now, Jesus said, though, didn't he? He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And if you come back in April, we're going to do part two of this. We're going to talk about the shepherd laying his life down for the sheep, the good shepherd. And Jesus says that, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. And then he seems to mix up his imagery. He also talks about being the gate, which seems a bit confusing. He later says, I'm the gate for the sheep. And you say, well, what's that? Well, actually, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You see, the shepherd, according to what I studied, the shepherd actually sat in the entrance to the sheepfold, and he became a human gate. So when Jesus says, I'm the gate, he's still the shepherd. He sits in the entrance to protect the sheep that are on the inside and to, you know, to stop bad things coming in and to look after them. So it's not actually a contradiction. A lot of people think there wasn't actually a gate you physically opened, but there was a hole that the shepherd sat in. Now, why is that important? Well, in the context, it's good to have some context here, because if you don't have context, you end up with a con. There were bad shepherds around. There were bad shepherds. These were the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and they were supposed to be looking after God's people, and they were doing a terrible, terrible job. In fact, it was prophesied in Ezekiel 34. God said of these, before they appeared, that they were bad shepherds. And he said this in Ezekiel, Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. See, that's the background to why Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And these Pharisees, these leaders, when you read John 10, you have to also look at earlier chapters. It's no good just jumping in at John 10. You've got to look at the bigger picture. In John 8, there was a woman caught in adultery, and the Pharisees dragged her in, and they wanted to kill her. They wanted to stone her. They were treating her like the black sheep, if you like, and they said, we want to kill her out of the flock. But that wasn't the heart of the good shepherd. He forgave her. And then in chapter 9 of John, there was a blind man who started to see. He was healed by Jesus, and they wanted to cast him out of the flock. They kicked him out of the synagogue because he started to believe in Jesus, because he started to see. See, these were terrible shepherds. They were, in fact, more like robbers and thieves and more like wolves devouring the sheep. And I want to just tell you that in today's world, on the news and in the politics and in the world, there are other voices. There are other shepherds who think they shepherd you, and they're doing a bad job. There's only one good shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ. And if I want to just say this, if you forget anything I say today, put your trust in Jesus. He's the good shepherd. He's the voice you can trust, who has your best interests at heart, not these bad shepherds. But that's the context. See, Jesus said, you're meant to be shepherds and you're behaving like wolves. I want to tell you another true story. I found this quite amusing. In the year 2013, a Polish farmer found what he thought was a stray dog wandering around. He thought it was possibly a little puppy sheepdog or a German shepherd. This is a true story, the year 2013, and he put it among the sheep. He was a shepherd. He was probably not the brightest chap. And then he noticed that it started howling. And he realized that, it's a wolf. So they called the police, and the police removed it. They didn't kill it, they returned it to the wild. But that's what had happened, you see, with the Pharisees. They'd become like wolves. So against that dark context, Jesus says he is the good shepherd. And the problem with these Pharisees were that they were slamming the door in the face of people trying to find salvation. You see, the Pharisees were saying, basically, they were saying, we're the door. You can only come to God through us, the religious leaders, the elite. We're the door. We're the access point to God, our teaching. And Jesus said, no, you're not. He actually said these words. He said in Matthew 23, verse 13, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. So in that context, Jesus talks about being the shepherd and the gate. And then he says these words. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me, that's Pharisees or false messiahs, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And there's that image of the shepherd sitting in the gateway. As the gate, a person, the person is the gate. So I want to point out a few things about what Jesus said. He said, very truly, that simply means listen, pay attention. This is really important. Listen up. He says, I am the gate of the sheep. That phrase, I am, is a phrase that God spoke to Moses. At the burning bush, God said, Moses said, who are you? And he said, I am who I am. And what Jesus is claiming here isn't just that he's a nice guy. He's actually God Almighty. I am the gate of the sheep. And he knows if someone's really seeking truth, they will spot a false shepherd. They will discern there's something off. Like some of the political leaders today, I won't name them, but some of them you can think of some. Some people think they're wonderful shepherds. Well, I think a true sheep will start to discern they're not. He says the sheep have not listened to them. In fact, earlier in the chapter, in verse 5, it says they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I've got two kittens, and we sometimes ask people in the church to come and feed them. Two of them are sat over there. And because my kittens don't recognize the voice of Matthew and Hannah, they hide and run away. And yesterday, 2 days ago, we had a lady come and visit, and one of the cats went and hid behind the microwave. But there's a picture there. You see, if you're seeking, if you really have a heart for God, truth, I think you'll start to discern where the truth lies. And Jesus says, all those people are fake. They're false gates, false doors. They don't lead to pasture. They don't lead to safety. They lead to trouble. And he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Safety, salvation. So here's one of my main points today. Jesus is the gate or the door that you must go through in order to find eternal safety. There's no other door given to mankind. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind through which we must be saved. It says we must go through Jesus Christ. He is the gate. The only way for you to be saved eternally, salvation, is through Jesus Christ. There is no other gate. They're all false. And it's a narrow gate. Why is it? Jesus said the way is narrow. The gate is narrow. The reason it's narrow is because it's only him. And you might have to come to him, you might have to get rid of certain things. Otherwise, you won't fit through the gate. I was a bodybuilder, believe it or not. Nothing wrong with sport, but I worshipped bodybuilding. I worshipped Arnold Schwarzenegger. And God told me to give it up. Clearly. And I fought him for 3 years. And it was like the Lord said to me, you can't go through the narrow gate if you keep doing that. Because I was on steroids and I was spending all my life down the gym. The gate is narrow, but it's worth it. I want to just tell you a bit of my testimony very quickly. I was at Exeter University. I used to stay in that room up there, number 56, Marden Hall. I wasn't a Christian, and in my third year, they did a mission at the hall. And the title of the mission, interestingly enough, was when Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the lie. And I remember going to listen to these talks and someone giving me a booklet. His name was J. John. Have you heard of J. John? He's a famous evangelist. They invited him to Exeter University to come and give a talk, and he gave me a leaflet called Journey into Life by Norman Warren. And I read it. I wasn't a Christian. I read it. But I began to feel a sense of conviction. Nobody was preaching to me really except J. John. It was just a conviction. And I remember getting up in the night feeling convicted of sin and feeling that there is heaven. There is hell. It's not a fairy story. I'm in danger. I'm in a place of danger. And I couldn't imagine that. In fact, I was annoyed with God. I wanted him to shut up and leave me alone. But I felt I was in a place of danger. And you can't manufacture that. The Holy Spirit has to show you. Because you see, what does a door do? A door takes you from one place to another place. A door takes you from a place of danger to a place of safety. And Jesus is the door. If you're outside of Jesus, you're in a place of danger where the wolves are. Go through the door, Jesus, and you come into safety. And I remember getting up in the middle of the night, feeling this danger and going down to the, sounds weird, going down to the, down here somewhere. There were the downstairs toilets, and I locked myself in a disabled cubicle, and I lay on the floor and I was weeping my eyes out. You think, oh, he gone mad. No, it was God. And I knew I was in danger. And in the end, I felt the Lord saying, you've got to give up your bodybuilding. Give yourself to me. So a few days later, up in that room, I remember surrendering it to Jesus and him filling my heart and changing my life dramatically. And I felt peace and safety in Christ. Please don't stay outside the door. It's dangerous. Come from the place into the place of safety through Christ. The other thing Jesus does, this is another thing I felt to share. He's the door who protects you from wandering. You see, when you're in the sheepfold, when you're a Christian, once you become a Christian and you become part of God's sheepfold, what does the shepherd do? He sits in the doorway at night, partly to keep wolves out, but partly to stop you wandering off. Because you know, at the night, sometimes a sheep might get up feeling a bit hungry, so he'll go and wander off. And the problem with sheep, they can wander, can't they? There's some pictures of some sheep that wandered and got into trouble. And I just want to give a bit of my testimony again, that it's my testimony that Jesus, my shepherd, has kept me, as a Christian, from wandering. I'm going to tell you a little story. When I was single, I was a teacher in a secondary school, and this very attractive young lady came to do teaching practice at the school, and there was a really strong physical attraction. I would say mainly physical. It was very, very powerful. She liked me a lot. She obviously couldn't see very well. She liked me a lot, and I fancied her. And we were Christians. And I was like, yeah, this is it. This is the woman for my life. And but you know what? In my gut, there was alarm bells going. Now, I don't know the reason, and I'm not picking on her, but God, it was like God was saying to me, she's not the one for you. And I actually did, which I don't recommend, but I actually did that stupid thing where you open a Bible and pray hard and put your finger. Have you ever done that? That's stupid. Don't recommend it. In fact, I heard a story of a man who did that. He was praying for guidance, and he opened the Bible and put his finger. And it said, Judas went out and hanged himself. So he said, Lord, that can't be you. So he did it again. And it said, go and do thou likewise. Anyway, I think God was gracious to me just once in my life, do this stupidity. And I actually was praying so hard about this. And I went like that. And I'm not joking. The verse, it's in the King James Bible. It said, you should be married to another. Romans 7. Anyway, she invited me to go to her place for dinner. And we went for dinner. And I was like, I really like her, but there was something not right. I just didn't feel right. And I told her, I said, I've got niggles. I'm sorry. It's something not right. And she got upset. And anyway, but we were still kind of, how can I put it, playing with fire. And then it was her last week at teaching practice. And it was her last week at the school. And I wasn't going to see her again unless I kept the contact. And I got invited to play a game of football. At the weekend. And as I was playing the football, I had this horrendous injury. I ended up with my foot in a cast, sprained it really bad, was hobbling around on crutches, and I couldn't go to school for the last week. And I mean, you might think I'm funny, but I believe God allowed that to happen to me to keep me off school that week. And then this girl left and never seen her since. That's my experience, that God can keep you. He's like a door, you know, as long as he can shut you in. I was literally shut in my flat. I couldn't go out because I had this big cast on. And God sometimes will protect his sheep from wandering off. I can look back on my life and see some of the spiritually reckless things and sinful desires that I had as a Christian. And God shut the door and kept me from doing shipwreck of myself. Okay, last main point of this. Jesus is the gate or the door through whom you go to find pasture. It says in verse 9b, Jesus said, they will come in and go out and find pasture. What does that mean? Well, the word pasture, I think, simply means blessing, food, fulfillment, meaning, contentment. You know, when a sheep finds pasture, a sheep is happy. What does a sheep need? Some luscious grass. And if you come to Jesus as the door, go through him, you will find pasture. You will find contentment. It doesn't mean life will be hunky-dory. You'll still have problems, but you will find the satisfaction of your soul that nothing else can give. No pasture is found anywhere else outside of Christ. Yeah, you can have a nice new car, make you feel good for a while. You can have all kinds of things, lovely family. They're all wonderful things. They're good things, but they're not ultimate things. Ultimate pasture is in Christ. It says, come in and go out. I don't really know what that means, except to say there's an element in which you come into the church, you get fed, but also you've got to go out sometimes into the world. And as you try and reach people in the world, God will feed you. He'll give you, you will find blessing. If you try and sit down with someone and say, would you like to read the Bible with me? By giving, you get fed yourself. If you, I don't know, try and invite someone to Alpha and bring them to the Alpha course, or in your workplace or among your neighbours, as you go out, you can find pasture. It's not all about just within the safety of the walls of the church. You go in, come in, go out, you'll find pasture. And there's a sort of sense of security. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the church or out there, you're safe. You're safe and secure in Jesus Christ, and there will be pasture. And we should have compassion for people out there. It's not just about me on a Sunday. It's also about people out there. We should have compassion because Jesus had compassion. It says this in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. Okay, but there is a warning in this passage, isn't there? If you look at verse 10, there's a warning about thieves and robbers. Because some doors don't lead anywhere, like that one. Some doors lead only to prison. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's in verse 10. There are voices out there that want to call you, come to this door. You'll find pasture if you come this way. Or go through that door. You'll find meaning if you do this. And they are false voices in the culture, thieves, robbers, and they're not out to bless you like Jesus is, who's the good shepherd. Here are some voices in the culture that I sort of read about. That one, live your dream. Is the slogan from the, I think it was the 1990s. And then around about the year 2000, Oprah Winfrey, she said, live your best life, live your best life. In other words, you know, you've got to it's all about this life. It's all about getting the best stuff. And then the worst one of all was Paris Hilton. I'm not a fan of hers. In 2019, she said, we all need to be sliving. Have you heard of that phrase? Sliving? Anyone heard of sliving? Yeah? Well, sliving means it's a combination between living and slaying. It means you've got to slay. You've got to kill it. You've got to be cool. You've got to have the best. You've got to look good. I once saw a Instagram post, a friend of Lydia, apparently wrote about me on Instagram, said, well, your dad slays. Means he looks cool. I don't know, she obviously couldn't see very well. But, you know, Paris Hilton said, you've got to look good, you've got to be professional, you've got to be excellent, you've got to be competent, you've got to have the latest iPhone or the latest Samsung Galaxy phone, you've got to have the nicest car, you've got to look cool, you've got to be with it. And it was called Sliving. And this is a voice. It's a lot of rubbish. It's not true. What we have to do is come to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know, if you come to Jesus, don't believe the lie that, oh, Jesus will take away my fun, or Jesus will be boring. No, Jesus comes to give you life. He's promised it. The creator of all these amazing things, right, wants to bless you with himself. You know, we all love creation, like the Barrier Reef, yeah? Or I'm quite into astronomy, you know, the supernovas. Or maybe you like kittens, or music, or laughter. You know, all these things God made. And God is saying, I want to give you myself. Not just the blessings. I want to give you not just blessings, but the blesser, the giver. Come to Jesus. Don't be distracted by other voices that are lying to you, saying, come to this door. This is where the pasture is. Come over here. That's where the pasture is. It's all lies. It's all distractions. My main point today is come to the door, Jesus, God's door, and you will find pasture. That picture there, by the way, is that person in the yellow top is me when I was tiny. And I was running a race at primary school. And I was quite near the front. And do you know what happened? I got distracted. It was actually my mum, bless her, but my mum was in the crowd going. So I went. And I came last. Complete idiot. I came last in that race because I was distracted. So, you know, don't get listening to distracting voices. Keep your eyes on the shepherd. So we're finishing now. Very simple message. Just remember, Jesus is God's door. He's the only one. It's not human effort. It's not the latest preacher or the latest cool this, that, and the other. It's Jesus. And if you know your Bibles, I mean, we can't go into it all today. It'd take too long. But if you look at like the story of the Exodus, there's a door and they put blood around the door. And if you stayed behind that door, you were safe. It's a picture of Jesus. And if you know your Bibles, in the Old Testament, they had the tent or the tabernacle. And apparently the only place you were allowed to sacrifice was at the door. There are many passages where it says, bring the sacrifice to the door. It has to be at the door, not out in the fields. You have to sacrifice at the door. And that's a picture of Jesus' sacrifice. See, Jesus is the door. He's the one who sacrificed himself for you on the cross. There you are. Jesus died for you on the cross. And have you ever wondered why he said these words? On the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think the reason Jesus said those words were because for the first time in all eternity, a door had been opened, a breach. There was a breach between him and his Father. Why? Why did God and the Son, why were they breached on the cross? Why did Jesus go, where are you, Father? I think the reason why God and Jesus and the Father were breached was to make a way where there was no way for you and me to come in to fellowship with God. It says in the Bible, God has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So on the cross, Jesus made the door open so that you and I could come in and have pasture and find pasture and find eternal safety and find protection. Okay, let's pray and then we'll close. Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever comes in through me will be saved. Lord, I just pray for us today. Thank you that you are the only door. And I pray for anyone here who's cynical, if anyone's cynical today and doesn't believe it, help them move beyond that, Lord, to explore you further. And those who are merely interested and curious, help them go further, Lord, and end up going through that door. And for those of us here who know you, Lord, and are already in the pasture that you have given, help us keep seeking you and not be distracted by other voices. For Jesus' sake, amen.